Welcome to Entrepreneur Yet. For those of us, sometimes called side hustlers, trying to keep their head on straight while balancing building a business while holding down that 9-to-5. And I'm your host, Sasha Korobov. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today, I'm delighted to welcome Pauline Wiles, the Marie Kondo of website design, as she likes to call herself. And she works with entrepreneurs and authors to get crisp, clean web presences, even if they're scared of marketing. And I loved this episode because I see clients of mine get really bogged down with things like their websites and social media and not focusing enough on what really matters when, you know, you're first putting yourself out there. Now, as a web expert for entrepreneurs, Pauline breaks down what you need and what you can leave behind when you are putting your web face out there, as it were. Specifically, Pauline and I talk about her own journey to realizing her entrepreneurial opportunity was low-hanging fruit all along. How many of us has that happened to? The common struggles that Pauline's clients have when they come to her. Hint, without this, you don't actually have a business. What's actually happening when you're afraid of others judging you and your business. The truth about what you need when doing your website, and no, you don't need to start a blog. This is my favorite, an unforgettable lesson about SEO with a hilarious example involving Welsh sheep fertility. Yes, we're going there on the show today, Welsh sheep fertility. And finally, why you should never confuse your clients' preferences with your own. And it's a common mistake that we make. And Pauline and I break down how that can really hurt you. So you definitely don't want to miss it. So for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this special episode with Pauline Wiles on how to clean up and put your best web presence forward. Enjoy. Hello, and a warm Entrepreneur Yet welcome to Pauline. How are you?
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Now, Pauline, I wish that I knew about you and your services from when I was, you know, just a wee babe in the woods in entrepreneur land. So would you mind sharing with the listeners who you are and how you serve your people?
Yes. Hi, I'm Pauline Wiles, and I design crisp and compelling websites for service-based solo entrepreneurs. I am basically the Marie Kondo of website design. My philosophy is less clutter and more impact.
Definitely wish I knew you when I was putting my website together. I've had to hack away quite a bit as a result of missing that Kondo-esque factor. So is it that you woke up one day and decided you were going to serve service-based entrepreneurs with their websites, and since then everything's been swimming? If not, would you provide a little bit of how you ended up where you are today?
Well, I guess since the day that I woke up with that realization, things have been quite straightforward, but certainly that day was a long time coming. Okay. Like many of us who find our way to working for ourselves, I have had a variety of different jobs. And it does seem they make more sense looking back than they did at the time. So after university, most of my roles were quite technical and analytical, very left brain stuff. Mm-hmm. I worked for an airline and for the UK government. Then I moved with my husband from London to the San Francisco area. But I carried on with pretty similar work here, this time for a university. And with hindsight, I was really neglecting my creative side. Mm. So after a very bad stint with a startup company, I took some time off and said, okay, that's it. I'm going to write the novel. This was the creativity coming out. And we'll fast forward past that. That novel attempt then turned into 6 self-published books.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and the notable thing here is by this time I was attending writing conferences, talking with other authors, and I realized that most of these other authors were completely overwhelmed by marketing their work, and in particular things like setting up an email list, setting up a lovely website. And to be honest, it took a bit longer for the penny to drop that not only was I qualified to help with that, but I actually felt very enthusiastic about building sites for other people.
Why do you think it took that little while for you?
I think that When one has spent several years with a side hustle that is basically writing fiction, that even though the thing that got me out of bed in the morning with most excitement was when I had the chance to update my own website or work on my own website, it took me a little while to realize that perhaps this was a gift that sat more with what I really love to do, and also, to be honest, more what the marketplace needed. So that's evolved a bit now. I work with a mixture of authors and solo entrepreneurs with service businesses. I've met some lovely people and I'm just loving it.
And so how many years have you been like offering this service to these people who clearly need the help?
So full time, the light bulb only went off just over a year ago.
Congratulations.
Yeah, but I actually built my first website. I checked. I built a site in the year 2000 when things were very different. Yes. And as I said, with looking back at my previous roles and previous side hustles, the pieces are there to see if one turns around and looks back with logic instead of being in the midst of it at the time.
Isn't that the funny thing about hindsight?
I love it.
That sort of turning around, be like, oh, it was actually there all along, but I decided
now
to.
It makes sense.
I decided to let mindset gremlins take the wheel for a while, which
right.
is, you know, I wish I could say I was immune to, but alas, I'm not. All right, excellent. Now, there are a few reasons I was excited to have you on, but when I'm working with my clients, one of the things that they really get bogged down on is websites. So what are the common myths that people come to you with? What are they really struggling with when they say, hey, I've got this business or I've got this book and need to promo, you know, I'm stuck.
So oftentimes, and I'm sure the clients you work with see this as well, that the problem that people think they have isn't necessarily the problem that they really have. And I think often when somebody feels like they're stuck on a website, they think it's because of the technology or because of their design skills or something. But in fact, it's because they or we, let's just say we, have not got clarity on what it is that our business offers and the problem that we solve.
Please say more about that and how you see it biting people.
Well, I absolutely loved this in a recent interview you did with Patty Dominguez, where she said, don't get ahead with what your branding is and whether you want pink or blue or green as your brand when you haven't decided what your positioning is and what really sets you apart.
Absolutely.
And so I think the temptation is to dive into a website project without really knowing, who do I serve? Who is the key person I would like to talk to here? What is the main way in which I help their need or their issue or their problem? And for the website in particular, then, what is the very next step that I want them to take?
May I say something controversial?
Yes, of course.
Some of the people that I speak with, I think, may even hide behind that. They're relieved to hide behind that because by hiding, like, behind, oh, I have to do this website, I have to really stay stuck here for a while, it holds them back from executing other action that otherwise,
yes,
you know, they may need to do. Do you find that as well?
Yeah, and I've noticed this. This has come up, for example, with some writers I've worked with, that the very act of publishing, it can be a super simple website. Nobody needs a very complex site to begin with. But the very act of publishing even a single page on the internet that says, this is who I am and this is what I do, that is a real act of telling ourselves that we're taking ownership of this business idea and this identity. It's almost like planting the flag when you reach the top of a hill, if you like. It's just a really little step of stepping over the edge and saying, yep, this is me. I identify as this.
And why do you think it's so hard for people to plant that flag?
Well, of course, there can be many things going on, and I imagine you are far more qualified to tease that out of people than I am. But depending on where we're coming from, you know, maybe we've had previous side hustles that didn't work out. Maybe, I mean, in my case, certainly, I feel a little bit of awkwardness that I have tried a few different things and I've had a few different careers. And there's a fear that we won't be taken seriously with a new venture, even if it feels, you know, like such a great match for what we want to do and where we want to be. And then there's even this misperception, I think, that all our friends and family are paying very close attention to what we're doing and will judge us. And, you know, the reality is everyone's busy. I don't think anyone's really paying the kind of attention that we sometimes imagine.
That is such an important point, and I haven't heard it articulated in quite that way, but you're absolutely right. Perhaps the vast majority of people are upset and thinking about, you know, the fact that they are at the focal point of the universe and everyone is like pointing their finger and like laughing at them. And then you realize everyone's sort of doing that, and therefore no one's paying attention to what you're doing.
Yeah, I think we can let go of the feeling that we're being judged quite like closely.
So important. Definitely a key takeaway here. Now, let's say that we have had people who have done the pre-work, right? They're like, I've done the work around getting clear on who I serve and how. And, you know, I've had my first few clients. I've, you know, built up some of these great things that I'm supposed to build up. I am ready to position myself out there in the world with my website. What are the first few things that people would need to come to you with, for example? What should they have in mind if they're brainstorming their website?
So the first thing I say to people is keep it much more simple than you think you might need.
Say more.
Well, by keeping a website simple, you're going to end up with something that's more effective in getting your preferred clients to take the next step, because you won't be confusing them. You'll also make the project size much more manageable, because you won't get bogged down in thinking you have to build 15 different pages. And by keeping it very manageable, you greatly increase the chances that you'll actually get your website project done.
Oh, what are some of the, I never even thought about the actual like getting it done part. I'm always just usually focused on like the what and the why. Would you be willing to talk more about that and like taking forever to get the website launched?
Yes. So one of the joys and one of the huge problems, I think, of online marketing is that there are so many ways we can go about promoting ourselves that anyone who's paying attention to methods and tactics and options can unwittingly absorb, or even wittingly in some cases, can absorb a huge number of things that we think we must be doing and should be doing, and really end up with a complete jumble of tactics which we think all have to belong on our website. So one of my favorite things to tell, especially new business owners, is don't assume that you have to blog. I actually feel quite strongly that for most small businesses, blogging is no longer where you should be spending your time.
The listeners can't see my face right now. I went to grab my water and Pauline said that, and it was like a Wile E. Coyote moment. I was like, what? Because there are still a lot of people out there talking about blogging, and I think Let me, for the record, just say that I agree with you. Unless you really love blogging, you know, and that's your medium and you can find ways to sort of like cross promote and do that, fine. But why? Why is blogging no longer the way to go? I've got my drink. I've got my water. I'm ready. Let's hear it.
So I tell people blogging is absolutely fine if you're already doing it, you love it, and your analytics are showing that it's working. Now, in my previous work with writers, I also caution that writers love to write, and sometimes we can hide behind activities that we love to do because they feel easy, they feel fairly natural, and they're not as scary as some of the other things we've come across. But for many other business owners, they don't love to write. If you take somebody who has a service-based side hustle, And is more focused on working with people one-on-one or in person, maybe writing isn't their passionate thing. And so if I sit them down on a Saturday morning and say, okay, come up with a blog post for your website, that's basically their day gone. And then even worse than that is when we blog on our own websites, especially if we don't have a huge audience and we're just getting going, and we maybe don't even have that big a following on social media where we then share those blog posts, we're only ever reaching the 3 to 5 people who are kind enough to come and look at our website and our blog posts. So blogging can be this massive piece of busy work where we feel we're promoting our business, but in fact, we're only ever getting in front of the same old people, and it's a very small number of people. So even for business owners who love to write and have lots of ideas to share and want to do articles and would even like to make those articles into a book someday, I say, fine, do the writing, but look for other platforms where you can publish that stuff, like doing guest posts, like getting into small magazines, places like Medium or LinkedIn, where you have a much greater chance of your efforts being seen.
And you can still write. You can still do that thing that you love in that medium that you enjoy. It's just, you know, is it 6 months? Can you talk to us a little about SEO and like how long you'd really have to plug away with something like blogging and trying to, you know, make the little internet gremlins work together to get some traction?
Yes.
Such a mystery to me. So,
all right. So SEO is another one that I love to go off about.
The floor is yours.
So I think there is this terrible myth that if we lock ourselves in a cave for a month and create a beautiful website and stuff it full of all the things that we've been told that Google likes, that we can then come out of that cave, make ourselves a fruity alcoholic drink and sit down in a deck chair and do nothing else.
You're right. I have been told that.
And customers will come to us.
Right.
Now, I think SEO is very interesting and useful if you have a really, really tight niche, to the extent where there are so few other businesses doing what you do that when somebody goes to Google and types in their problem, that you stand a really decent chance of coming up. Hmm. So, I don't know off the top of my head. Let's say I have a very specialized service helping sheep farmers in Wales with sheep fertility. Apologies for taking your fine broadcast in this direction, Sasha.
And away we go to sheep fertility. Onward, let's go.
But that's the kind of niche where you can imagine if somebody goes to Google and say, I've got a problem with fertile sheep in Wales, that there's not probably going to be that many entrepreneurs or side hustlers who can help.
And especially ones that are blogging.
Now, on the other hand, let's say that I'm a health coach for women, even women approaching the menopause. You know, you'd think that's a niche. That feels like a niche. That sounds like something that you could do well with in the search engines. Especially on a global level, you're still facing a lot of competition for that. Mm. So I really encourage people, and in some ways, I'm not exactly shooting myself in the foot, but I want to be very honest with my clients. We don't build a website and then you get to go and sit down and just wait for the inquiries to roll in.
Sorry, listeners.
We really have to take responsibility as business owners for getting the word out there, talking to the right people, forming relationships with others who have a similar interest and might be able to, you know, the rising tide lifts all ships kind of thing. The work doesn't stop once you have a functional website. And that's to your question. That's not to say we ignore SEO. Mm-hmm. We don't put all our eggs in that basket and expect that as long as we do our part, that Google will then work some kind of magic, because I just do not believe that that's the case.
So what are some of the complementary activities that you've mentioned? A few, you know, these other things that can support the growth of your business, the growth of your recognition, your awareness. What are some of your favorite things that people are doing and that are working right now?
Well, I'm glad you said favorite things, because the next important point that I, I think, especially for side hustlers, to keep in mind is you can't be everywhere and you can't do everything. You will run yourself into the ground if you try every single little marketing tactic that you've heard about. And again, this is where we're so lucky and so burdened that there are so many tactics we hear about. So at this stage, I say to people, really try and know yourself. Think about the combination of what you love to do that comes fairly naturally to you, combined with who is that audience you're trying to reach, where perhaps are they hanging out, and what forms of content might they want to hear from you. So Sasha, you talk very passionately about market research.
I do. I'm such
and I
a
think
nerd.
For yeah. So for example, if somebody has a side hustle, they're very limited on time, they're looking for how to promote that side hustle, they might think, oh, I'd love to start a podcast. Because with lovely examples like our conversation that we're having, it feels like a podcast might be a great way to go. Mm-hmm. But if you've done that market research piece and you've talked to your, your sheep farmers in Wales, and they're not listening to podcasts, maybe the first place that they go to is their very trusted website for this advice. Or maybe they go to YouTube because they like a video to show them the hands-on tactics. Then the point here, we're laughing about this, but the point here is don't put all your energies into something that you love to do if that's not where the people you're trying to talk to are likely to come across you.
So what about this myth that you don't need to do this preliminary research because if you love it, they must love it too because they're your people, right? They're on the same wavelength. I've actually heard that before. What are your thoughts?
Oftentimes, our people are on the same wavelength, and I think it makes for a really nice business if we are reaching out and trying to help people who have very similar experiences as ourselves, but maybe they're not quite as far along. That certainly does make some sense, but I don't think we can assume that the people that we want to work with and want to help go about things in the same way.
So
certainly
important.
If somebody isn't as far along in, I mean, maybe it's a very personal journey that you've experienced and you want to share. If somebody isn't as far along in that journey, they may be going about things in a completely different way. They might be talking to their friends or searching in very different places from the places and the methods that you yourself now like. I think there's something to be said for doing what you enjoy because, of course, stamina and the ability to stick with something is a key factor, particularly when it's a side hustle and energy is at such a premium. I certainly would never say to somebody, do something you hate just because it's where your audience is. But equally, I think it's really dangerous to assume that you know who they are and exactly where to find them.
Yeah, or to ignore a particular medium just because you don't like it, but maybe that's where the majority of your people hang out.
Yes.
You don't have to like bathe in it, but you can throw it a bone, So, okay. So we've talked about the right time to start a website. It's after we have done our research on our people and our niche and what we do. We have discussed that it is not the only strategy. You've got to have the complementary, sort of awareness, generating activities, we can call them. And so let's say, all right, my name is Sasha. I've done my work. I'm ready to do my website. I know that I want to pitch to be on podcasts as part of my strategy. Now, what do I need? Like what pages are we making sure that we include? Like if we just want to get started.
I think if you're just getting started, it's perfectly fine to have, you can have a very attractive one-page website and it serves the purpose that if somebody is just coming to check you out and verify that you are who you say you are and you look credible and professional and you've got some very basic information there, you don't need a whole lot more.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Now, that's not to say that that's always the best way to go. But I think if you're feeling a complete barrier as to what to list, then having a very simple one pager is way better than no website. Because another thing I sometimes hear is somebody says, oh, I've got a website and it's not bringing me clients. And I say, well, you have no idea how many people are checking you out online because they came across you somewhere else. And when they actually call you up to talk to you, then they may not say to you that they first heard you on this podcast and then they checked out your Instagram feed and then they looked at your website and they did something else and blah, blah, blah. And eventually they give you a call. But I can promise your listeners that if you don't have a website and somebody goes looking for it, if you've got anything that's a service-based business or anything where a degree of professional credibility is needed, then not having a website can really hurt you, because in this day and age, it just looks weird.
Talk more about why, because this is important.
Yeah. So at this point, you know, there are a few people and professions that I would hire without a website. But if I'm looking for a coach or an ongoing service relationship or somebody who is supposed to have some expertise, somebody who is supposed to have any level of professional credentials for what they're doing, then the fact that they haven't even got their act together and invested in a very basic online home will be a red flag. A fairly early client I worked with was an attorney, and he said to me, in this day and age, it just looks shady if I don't have a website.
Yeah.
So you asked what pages people really need. So
yes.
My advice is something is better than nothing. Right. And to set people's minds at rest in terms of, well, what do I do? How do I make it look good? That kind of thing. All you have to keep in mind that when you walk into a high-end shop and they're trying to convince you to buy a very high-end or exclusive item, then they use that less is more approach that I suggested at the very beginning. They don't fill their shop with 100 different products and lots of visual stimulation for you to look at and check through. They'll probably just feature one or two key items that they want to guide your eye towards. And by using this very curated approach to your experience, they will not only guide you to what they want you to do next, which is buy, in this case, the high-end item in the shop, but in our case, on a website, we can use the curated approach to show the visitor this is exactly what you should be doing next.
Okay, so it's more a journey than a boom, here it is. Here's like everything, just this like very crowded and upsetting mosaic.
Yes. Studies have been done that if we give consumers too much choice, they tend to pick no choice. So on a website, if you give people too many different options for what to do next, for example, click here to book a call with me, click here to get my free resource, follow me here, do this here, check out this article I wrote. Oh, have you looked at my blog recently? If we give them too many choices, many people will do nothing. So fewer choices actually works in our favor.
Okay.
And if you do want to go beyond and have a few pages on your website, then because I work with service-based businesses, I'll talk more about that. Then the very key pages which are usually helpful is some kind of welcome page which introduces immediately who you help and how, so that a visitor knows they're in the right place. Some kind of information about you and your credentials and why you love this work is usually a good thing to have on another page. And you definitely want some information about, often we call this services, but really it's about the benefits that working with you will bring. So another really good thing to keep in mind is don't focus quite so much on what you do. Focus on the outcome, the benefits, and the relief that your client will feel from working with you.
This is so important. And I cannot tell you how many websites I've seen that is like, I, me. And just rattling off this sort of, on the more extreme cases, kind of an embarrassing resume of all the ways in which you are awesome and nobody can top you. Clients don't see resonance in that. They don't see how you're speaking with them. And so the fact that you just said that is so, it's like a hot button issue for me, because I read these things all the time and I'm like, yes, I am now fully brought up to speed on why you are awesome, but I have absolutely no idea how you can help me.
Yes, precisely. So you alluded to this, but a really good trick is, if you're not sure that your website is hitting the mark, just go to a page and count the number of times you say I, count the number of times that you're saying you. That's a really nice yardstick for whether you've got the focus in the right place.
That's such a good tip. Now, you've talked about these elements that we all need, right? You talked about having too much, right? Too many avenues, you know, download my freebie, follow me on Twitter, jump into this little portal of excellence, book a call with me, look at my blog post, all this stuff. Now, you also talked about like simplifying and decluttering. So are there some best practices that you follow? Like, this might be good. Like, and I'm thinking the boilerplate, right? Of like home, about, work with me, contact or something. If those are four examples.
Yeah.
Or blog, I have podcasts. So like blog or podcast.
Right.
What are the sort of call to action, like best practices you can offer someone working on this stuff?
So a really important thing to know before you create your website, or even afterwards, you can go back and edit, would be, what's the next step that you want somebody to take to work with you? Now, again, I don't work with online stores, but if I'm selling a £10 piece of jewelry or a $10 piece of jewelry, the next step might well be, I'd like the person to add this to the cart and check out, please. However, for service-based businesses, again, depending on the service, but most times we want the person to take the next step as to booking a call with us or filling out some kind of intake form or taking some initial step on the road to hiring us. Because depending on the services we offer, if it's a coaching package that's £2,000, $2,000, it's a big ask to expect somebody to land on your site, browse around for 5 minutes. Oh, and by the way, visitors do not spend very long reading our website content. They will skim. They only give you a couple of minutes before they're moving on to the next thing. So don't delude yourself that they're there for hours. Anyway, it's a pretty big ask for them to land on your website and hire you for a four-figure coaching package.
Sure.
So therefore, the next step is, can you convince them that you are the kind of person that they feel some affinity with? You've shown them a few high-level benefits that they could expect. And can you then convince them to take that next step? So don't overwhelm them with everything else. What's the next step? So for many websites, a key call to action is probably whatever you want that next step to be. And then with perhaps a few less noticeable options for if they're not quite ready for that, they would keep in touch with you through maybe your favorite social media method or with a free resource, which, as you might imagine, is then the entry to your email list.
Okay. Now, there is controversy swirling in our industry right now, and I would love your take on it because of how you help your people. What is it? What is the thing to do? Is it social media or is it an email list nowadays?
I definitely sit in the camp where I feel that putting all your efforts and trust into social media is a highly risky strategy.
Say more.
Now, each of us as business owners has to decide, where are we comfortable? What level of risk are we willing to accept? Mm-hmm. But I feel like I can't now look at the news without seeing headlines about one social media platform or another being boycotted, being abandoned, being called into question for authenticity or ethics. And
or
now
hacked.
Or hacked. I mean, we've heard a lot of stuff about, oh, the algorithm can change. You know, Facebook took away the ability for you to reach all your followers unless you paid to boost a post. We've heard all that stuff. We know that the algorithms can be dicey and that we're building our house on somebody else's island, so to speak. But these days, I think there's an interesting twist that the credibility of these platforms is now more in doubt than it's ever been. And I don't think it takes that much for a social movement to get going whereby an entire platform could be boycotted. And if that's the platform where you've put all your efforts and that's your main way of reaching people, then yeah, you're on very thin ice immediately. So yeah, I mean, we all get too many emails. Email lists are tricky, but there is, So I'm in the camp of build your email list because you've been given permission to connect with people that way. You've got a direct line to them. Perhaps your open rates aren't what you'd like them to be. Perhaps you're not getting the engagement that you would really love from that. But that is at least on firm ground that you have got considerably more control over than being on a platform where the wind could change tomorrow.
That's so important. And actually, you know, you even saying that sort of jogged my memory of, I forget what episode it was, but I love Pat Flynn and his podcast, Smart Passive Income. And he mentioned that, or maybe it was one of his books, somewhere, sometime, Pat Flynn said that he had, you know, his website up and running, and it was somewhere in between like 2014 or 2016, something like that. His website was hacked, and he had, you know, however many tens of thousands of, if not more, you know, people checking out his blog every month because he had his email list that he used as a co-strategy for that. He was able to just fire off an email to say, hey everyone, look, this is really inconvenient and weird, but like my website's been hacked, like hang tight. As soon as it's back up, we'll get you back up and running. And, you know, and this is exactly, you know, what you're talking about. This is not theoretical. This has happened to people in our industry and it's happened on a pretty big scale.
Yeah, I think that's a really good approach, that as you hopefully make some time to think about what the risks are to your business, assuming that something like that could happen to you, because let's face it, if it happens to Pat Flynn, it can happen to all of us. assume that these things are perfectly possible and know what your fallback plan is in that case.
Amazing. So just a couple more questions for you here, Pauline. Thank you so much for coming on to chat. If you, let's see, because you mentioned we were chit-chatting before the show. You are in America by way of England. Mm-hmm. I am in England by way of America. And let's say you have done this writing. You have that little itch, that little sneaking suspicion that the website services that you've done for yourself, you could replicate, you can help people. Back when you were first starting to think about entering the service-based realm, with everything that you've learned, everything that you've tried, oh, you must have tried and tweaked many things, what advice would you give yourself back then, knowing everything that you know now?
The key piece of advice I would give, I've kind of already mentioned. So I'll talk about that, but then I'll try and offer something a bit more original as well.
It's okay.
The key thing really is that the more simple you can keep every aspect of your business, the more air, the more oxygen, if you like, you will allow to come in to fan the flames of what you're trying to do. And in a side hustle especially, your time is really limited. You can't be doing everything. So keep it very simple. You know, maybe one key service, one key way that you're trying to promote yourself. And don't get bogged down chasing the shiny objects, buying the courses, something else you've talked about. don't go chasing too many things. Go with simplicity, and you'll give yourself the chance to breathe, and you'll give your business the chance to get some oxygen into it as well.
Amazing.
And then the thing I would add, especially from a personal point of view, and as you hinted, we've all tried things that didn't work and didn't pan out as we hoped. So just forgive yourself for either the side hustle that didn't work out, the pivot that your grandmother gave you a hard time about, the tactic that seemed like a great idea at the time and backfired. Definitely just forgive yourself and know that you're not going to get everything right first time, and allow yourself to breathe and move on.
That's such important advice. And actually, it's from falling and skinning your knee that you can tweak and build something better moving forward. It's not something to be avoided. It's putting yourself on the fast track to getting there. So I love that you said that. Now, if you would be so kind as to share with the listeners, because I mean, we need websites, right? Like, and we need help because we don't know what we're doing. So how can people come hang out with you and get in touch with you?
Yes. So what a surprise. The best place to find me is my website. You can find me at PaulineWiles.com. I have a free website starter kit there to help people get over some of the common questions and hurdles. We didn't talk about choosing technology today because that can take us down a real rabbit hole. But I do have some hints and advice in there as to how to choose a website technology and how to think about getting started with your site so that it's not overwhelming.
Perfect. And I know that that's really important too, because if people are anything like me, which, you know, heaven help them. Once I get an idea, I've all of a sudden got 13, you know, Google tabs up researching different options. Well, pricing is fine, but what about quality and what about speed and all this stuff? So thank you for mentioning that you have that as a resource, because I think that that'll be really helpful to people like me who just have squirrel brain and just need someone to give them in one place, like what the pros and cons are. So
pros and cons. Yep.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Well, I have had a lovely time chatting with you today. And again, I wish I knew you back when I was just getting started. I think you probably would have helped me with a lot of headaches. So thank you so much for coming on the show today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, I love that episode. It was such a feel-good episode. And I loved the advice that Pauline would give herself so much. How often do we allow ourselves to breathe and move on from a pivot we didn't expect, or maybe a side hustle that didn't pan out? And what really jumped out at me, how often do we waste time concerning ourselves with what other people think of us instead of just getting on with it and making progress with what we want to do? And look, I've been there. I know that it's common, but just because it's common doesn't mean that it's something that's not hurting us and something that, you know, we shouldn't think about. So I really loved the way Pauline broke that down in the episode. And what I have also done, because Pauline is so awesome, is I have linked up in the show notes how you can get your hands on her free website starter kit. So don't miss out on that. Like, why would you miss out on that? And how you can find her on the web. But for now, that's all the time we have. So until next time, never forget, as always, that you are awesome and so is your business. Take care.